for those who are now 25, 26 and in those kind of meetings,
yeah,
I know it's tough, but speak up. Nothing terrible can happen, but speak up. I think companies need those kind of voices in those decision-making circles.
Welcome to Pyramid to Circles.
Pyramid to Circles.
This podcast is for the leaders and for the change makers who have the goal of evolving their company
towards more collective intelligence, more empowerment,
more self-organization, but asking themselves how to make this happen, where to start, and how to get inspiration from others.
Pyramid to Circles. Pyramid to Circles.
Welcome, everyone. Today, I would like to discuss a movement that brings together thousands of companies worldwide and that seeks to transform the economy by demonstrating that it is possible for a company to make a positive contribution to society and to the environment. This movement is B Corp. One of their slogans is using business as a force for good. Another one that I like is to not be the best in the world, but the best for the world. So the B Corp movement tries to demonstrate through the achievement of the B Corp community that it is possible to reconcile the profit motive, the for-profit, and the collective interest, the for-purpose. The companies which are certified come from all across the board of in terms of industries. And I wanted to make an episode on B Corp because they are setting a standard that affects not only the company's business models and value chains, but that also drives the cultural transformation. That is the topic of this podcast. So you cannot be exactly the same person in a B Corp or the same leader in a B Corp. Their approach is an invitation for becoming more conscious and more mindful of our ecosystems as companies, but also as people. So my guest today is the executive director of B Corp Lab in France, Augustin Boulot. Welcome, Augustin. Thank you for being with us. And where are you as we speak?
Thank you very much, Michael, for the great introduction on B Corp. I'm going to find it difficult to explain it better than what you've done in your introduction. I'm super happy to be with you today. My name is Augustin Boulot, and I'm executive director for B Lab France, which is the nonprofit organization in France that develops the B Corp movement and coordinates the movement in France. We work very closely with our European partners as well within the B Lab Europe organization.
I would like maybe before we go into B Corp, what it is, the standard, everything, the certification and examples maybe of companies and et cetera, maybe some words about you. What drives you? What made you, become the leader, the executive director of B Corp Lab in France? What drives you? What has been your story in a nutshell?
I'll try in a nutshell. I've done a number of very different things. I think my first sort of B Corp moment, I'll say, was in my first job. I was working for a large telecoms company in Spain and working for the CEO's office. And I remember very well, we were gathered all together around the CFO, which was the number two of this massive, massive organization. And it was a sort of kickoff for the year, basically setting the vision for what our goals should be. And we were very much working on sort of strategic projects or the strategic investments of the company in the long run. And I remember him saying the compass of all the decisions that you need to make should be around the shareholder value of our company and the price basically of our share on the market. That needs to be the sole compass of all the decisions we make.
Well, many companies actually, this is the compass for many companies today.
Absolutely. And I remember I was quite young at the time. I was about 25, 26. And I remember sitting there in that meeting saying, I think he's got it wrong, but who am I? I'm 25. This guy is probably over 60 years old. Who am I to kind of challenge that kind of way of thinking? I'm sure he's got lots of experience, knows what he's talking about, but something seems wrong. Something, surely we have to have another compass on the type of decisions that we make as an organization. So I think that was my first B Corp moment. I stayed in the company for 4 years, and then I decided to move back to France and it was supposed to be a short sort of political engagement for just a couple of months. The campaign for the presidential election of 2017 was about to begin. And I joined a movement, which at the time was called En Marche. It was the sort of the very early weeks of the movement, because I thought that we needed a centered position in the political landscape that wasn't present at the time. And well, the campaign kind of happened, and and Macron won the election. And so I remained longer than what I had expected and hoped. And I stayed implicated for almost 3 years on topics around how do we get more citizens involved in contributing to political topics and writing the laws. So in France, we had the Convention Citoyenne for the Climat, for example. That's something that I worked on in the very early stages in Parliament. We worked on the Grand Débat, which is something that also came in France during the Gilets Jaunes movement.
The great debate, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But after over 3 years of political engagement there, it was just time for me to come back to a more business environment. I felt I could be more useful there. But I wanted to keep in mind that, the business was just not business for driving shareholder value. But business was a purpose to drive, you know, positive contributions to society. And that was my firm belief. And I had actually met people from the B Corp movement in France during this political engagement, because there was the Société à Mission, the mission-led company in France that was also among the political debates at the time. And I've always been drawn to the idea behind the B Corp movement. Businesses can be this contribution to society. Businesses aren't perfect, and that's not what we defend absolutely in the B Corp movement. But as you very well said in your introduction, businesses need to have this mindset. They need to have this consciousness that they're not alone in this world. Their actions have implications on a number of stakeholders, including the environment. And that idea within the B Corp movement, I've always felt very strongly about. So when B Lab France was set up, that's where I decided to take a shot and try to join this movement.
Okay.
So that was end of 2019.
Thank you.
So it's been 3.5 years now.
3.5 years. Okay. So interesting in your journey, there is the business side. You've been in large organizations and were exposed to all the strategic challenges, the financial challenges, and at the same time you've been working as a more in a citizen in a the political arena, working on a citizen level and a society level. And in a way, B Corp is a bit of a combination of both. It's like bringing the two together. So it reflects in your career. I was thinking when you said to this, you told me you were 25 and the head of this CFO spoke about shareholder value driven. We should be shareholder value driven. And that was, you say, who am I to think like that? Well, maybe you're the future generation is speaking like that. So maybe the future generation, they need that we think a bit differently. I don't know if we can say that.
I hope so. And what maybe one message is that for those who are now 25, 26 and in those kind of meetings,
yeah,
I know it's tough, but speak up, and that nothing terrible can happen, but speak up. I think companies need those kind of voices in those decision-making circles.
Mm. Maybe let's shift to B Corp. What is B Corp? So there are two things. There is the B Corp certification. And that is a standard that is actually very precise. And I speak for, we've at Fabric, we are B Corp certified company. We're very proud of it. It took us like 3 years to get there. So it's not an easy thing. And we're a very small company. So like 10 people, it's a journey, and it's very specific and demanding. And then there is B Lab. So there are two things. Maybe we could start with understanding what is the B Corp certification, or I don't know where you want to take it from, or the movement, or maybe how you want to unfold it, just to explain it for the audience that don't, because I think everybody has heard of B Corp more or less, but not exactly know what it takes, what it is. So I think it's a chance for people to understand.
For sure. So B Lab is the nonprofit organization that represents the B Corp movement. To make it maybe a bit more simple, B Corp, I'd say, is the brand, obviously the certification, the name of the movement, and B Lab is just the organization, the nonprofit organization that's behind. B Lab was created in 2006 in the United States by three people, two of which had actually started a company in the 1990s called N1. It was a sports shoe company. And they built that company on very, for the time, very progressive ideas, social standards within the company, very ambitious on parental leave, the way they treated their suppliers, but they built it into quite a big company. And when they sold the company, they realized that under the new ownership, all those very ambitious values on social change and social ambition within the company had disappeared very quickly. Mm. And so they said, we need to build, they left the project, and they said, we need to build something that not only enables companies to measure these kind of things, because that didn't really exist at the time, to maybe better understand how you can build these social and environmental standards within an organization, but we also need to build something that enables companies to make those kind of commitments long-lasting within the organization, regardless of the leadership and the ownership of the company. And so they decided to build...
The code. How to put
exactly,
it in the code.
In the code, completely. Yeah, and so they decided to build this movement, not with the idea of building a certification, but really with the idea of trying to set a vision that they had of what good companies should look like. They came up with a number of different tools to be able to do that. One of them is a standards to help companies manage their impact. It's basically the compass, and a certification, because they very quickly realized that it was important, if this movement was to grow, that people could start identifying with companies who were able to uphold those very high standards. And so that's when the certification came in. And the other element that they worked on, which is very distinctive within the B Corp movement, and then we can maybe talk about how the standards work and what it means for B Corp to be a better business. But one element which was very important and right from the start in the founder's vision was that if we were to achieve systemic change, the legal frameworks around businesses also needed to change. And so they fought hard to try to build new legal structures for companies to be built around. And that's what became known later as the Benefit Corporation. And that idea has kind of evolved with the movement in other parts of the world. They connected with similar founders, entrepreneurs in Latin America. And that's how the Sistema B movement was born. And they also connected with similar entrepreneurs and people working on similar things in the UK and in Europe. And so that's how the movement was built. And so there's this certification aspect, the movement aspect, but there's also this belief that we also need to look at legal change within the frameworks that allow businesses to operate or not. And that's why in France, we're extremely close to the Société à Mission movement, because even though the frameworks are different, Société à Mission is not the same thing as the benefit corporation status in some states in the US, or even in Italy, where they actually have the benefit corporation legal status. It is a very powerful idea that was right from the start within the movement. And we have the Société à Mission in France, which again is something different, but we're close to them and we're fighting for the same thing. So we're trying to do a number of programs and work with that community in France.
So Jim, just a question that's very interesting. So there are two things to understand: the standards, so people to measure against their progress and their, I would say, the performance as good enterprises. And maybe we can define later what good means. Just a word on the benefit corporations as a legal status. So I understand this is a binding legal status that obliges you, or that. So what is it exactly? What is different in a? It doesn't exist in France, but it exists in Italy. It may exist in the US or in other countries. So what is in this?
There are a number.
Criteria, the key elements of it that is different.
There are a number of things that are a little bit different. I'd say the main difference is the benefit corporation status obliges you to measure your impact in front of a specific set of impact areas, or we can call them sort of key stakeholders that are defined against set standards. And most of the time, those set standards are the B Corp standards, but they can be from other standards. But they do force a company to measure their impact that their actions are having on set standards, which is not entirely the case in France with the Société à Mission, where it's the company who decides on a purpose, a raison d'être in French, and then they themselves work on a specific number of goals that they want to achieve that help them achieve this raison d'être. And then they have an external organization that comes to verify that they are indeed meeting those goals, but it's the company themselves that are that are setting their own goals. Whereas with the benefit corporation legal status, it has to be against a certain set of independent standards.
Okay, great, thank you. You make yourself accountable against not only your, I guess, financial performance, but also your performance in other areas against set standards that are defined by B Corp or maybe the government or, yeah. So it's really measuring, your value in different ways and making it official. Okay, yep. Great. That may be something that is a huge, I mean, in terms of change, and because we talk about the triple bottom line impact or measure and so on. So that's basically ingraining this in the company. Okay.
Absolutely. The two share is that for now, whether it's Société à Mission or the benefit corporation status or the Società Benefit in Italy, it remains a voluntary legal framework. So there's nothing, companies are absolutely free to not be a Société à Mission in France.
You don't pay less taxes if you're good.
Exactly. You don't pay less taxes if you are or you aren't. I do think that we're going to more and more we're going to come to a stage where if companies don't go towards these kind of frameworks, it's not the law that's going to be enforcing them to do so, but it's going to be their customers, their suppliers, their future employees, who are becoming more and more upholding with the standards of the companies that they want to work for or buy from. That's a real movement that we're seeing.
Talking about employees and talents in particular, there is a war for talents in many large companies. Many companies are struggling to get the talents and retaining them. And we know that one of the key motives is one of them is autonomy, but one of them is purpose and meaning. And then being a B Corp or being engaged as a company in a for purpose orientation is essential. And I think that if you want to attract the best talents, there is no way you can do it without that. I mean, in general, that's part of your strategy for growth for sure. And that's not just there are many studies on that, and I think everybody would agree.
So we
understand there is the B Lab and that is the organizing this. There is the B Corporation status that is existing in some countries, and then there is the certification. And so that measures against standards, your performance as a company. So maybe we could, what do we measure exactly why is it difficult?
So what do we measure? We measure five different impact areas of a company. I'd say they correspond to five big families of stakeholders, because one of the core founding beliefs within the B Corp movement is that a company needs to create positive impact and create value for all of its stakeholders and not just their shareholders. So when we look at those five impact areas, we can see that link with the B Corp idea and talk about five big family of stakeholders. And those five areas are governance, workers and employees, the community, in which you have a lot of questions that relate to your value chain, your suppliers, but also how the company behaves itself as a citizen within its local environment. The fourth family of stakeholders or impact area is the environment, both climate but also biodiversity. Too often now, a lot of people are very much focused on climate, but it's super important to elevate also the biodiversity aspect of how we look at the environment. And the fifth area is customers. And so once I've set those five impact areas, what's interesting in what we try to measure with B Corp is once you go into those five areas, you always have two levels of impact that we try to measure. The first one is elements that you can find in a number of other CSR or non-financial reporting type standards, and looks at the way you operate as a company, but it doesn't yet deep dive into your business model. And then that's the second level that's looked at with B Corp. And that's what I find really interesting, is that it will really deep dive into your business model, meaning what are the products or the services that you sell and who you're looking to serve as a company. And when we were preparing this interview, you said very rightly that it's not only important to look at how a company is operating, but also who the company is being. What are they producing? What are they selling? And who are they looking to serve by actually running their business? And that's a really interesting part of B Corp. It's in the standards, it's called impact business models. And so there are about between 20 and 25 different impact business models in those five impact areas that I mentioned above. And a company can, if it demonstrates that a significant part or a material part of their business is linked to one of those impact business models, then that will be valued in the standards. It will enable the company to build, I guess, more points towards their B Corp certification. And then maybe one last aspect, which is interesting to understand in what exactly we measure with these standards. And it's especially interesting in an increasing context of greenwashing and impact washing. And that's why it's actually very difficult to go all the way with B Corp, is that we measure the final outcome of an action or of a practice that's already in place in the company. And we don't measure a promise that's been set out by the company. And that's what makes it quite difficult.
So you will measure in reality the concrete outcome, that what happened in reality, not the promise that people, what people Absolutely. Are talking about, what they actually do.
A very concrete yeah. example, if we look yeah, at, please. I don't know, a company who offers a number of working days for its employees to do work on the side or to do volunteer work. That's great if they have that practice in place. But what B Corp is going to want to measure is how many employees have actually used that practice in place, how many volunteer days have been spent by the employees. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's easier, I guess, to have practices in place, but it's much more difficult to actually make them a reality and make them have the outcome that's initially sort of planned ahead when you put in place those practices.
That's maybe the difference. I remember when I started my career, I did an internship and I was working for the ISO standard 9003, I think it was in the quality.
Okay.
And old memories. And I remember, so it was all about compliance and complying to a number of standards, process, to document it in a certain way, and this and that, and document it a certain way. But there is more than compliance. Maybe just a word on that, because there is a bit of that, but there is more than that.
Absolutely, there is a bit of that, and each question and our standards are actually built on a number of ISO standards, and we're always a movement that's used a lot of what was already out there to build a solid base. And so when companies will go through their BIA, their impact assessment, they will have a couple of questions that are sort of compliance based. But if they want to score higher points to get over the 80 point bar, which is the minimum threshold to be able to become a B Corp, and more often than not, they will have to show that by complying, their actions actually have a very material and concrete outcome to be able to score more points. It's very difficult if you are just showing that you're complying and that you have a certain number of practices in place to go over that 80-point bar.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
And so that's why it's often challenging for companies, because they'll have a sort of a first go at replying to all the standards, and they'll very quickly get to sort of 55, 60, 65 points. But it's the final points to get over the 80 point bar that are the most difficult to get.
Which leads to transformation. Just before we move into it, because I'd like to ask you about how does it drive the change and the culture change, but maybe one word, one example on, because you mentioned the impact business models. I think it's very interesting. So because, okay, we as change agent and leaders of organization, or I think the audience of this podcast, people want to, you know, bring the organization to a next level. It cannot just be culture. It has to be business models too. Or if it's business model, it has to be culture too. So I think those two go together for real change. And I find very interesting that you bring in this. So maybe could you give an example of an organization that has it either adopted or that is respecting one of these business models? What does it mean concretely? Like an example of one of those 20, 25 business impact business models, what could that be?
It's difficult to choose just one. Maybe if we look at the environmental ones, the one on the bio, for example, so the organic, you need to demonstrate that you have a significant part and material part of your entire business that's built on selling or developing organic products. So you can't have a line of products and have one sort of organic offer, you really need to demonstrate that it's an integral part of your offer, the way the company is built. We have had a couple of examples of large companies who to try to get those points related to the organic impact business model, will go through, you know, the whole process of transforming their soils, of shifting the way they're sourcing products. And so it's not the kind of changes that you can do in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It's a couple of years. It's interesting that you asked the question, because we've started doing a little bit of research with our friends Utopie in France, and we've launched with them a series called IBM Series, where we've done some research on how companies transform, and it is one of the biggest levers of change for companies. And maybe if I can give one piece of data on a study we did on B Corps, I think across Europe, more than 50% of B Corp companies, when they recertify, so 3 years later, they will do so by unlocking one additional impact business model. So it means that more than one out of two B Corps will try to recertify by adding that change, that transformation within their business model. And as I said, it's not just a practice that you can put in place, an ethics
it's deeply in your
document
business
that you can write up.
Yeah,
it's really deeply ingrained in the way your company works and how it makes its profits.
So it's still a progressive, it's in the sense of you need to be on the road of progress towards being good in all these areas, when being good, meeting those standards, and having no positive impact, not a negative impact, not taking but giving to the ecosystem. But 80 points is not 100. So there is a room for, you're not saying you guys have to be perfect, but you have to be at a certain level. So I'm curious, and I have a question. I apologize for the people I know and the colleagues in the, but some companies do have a B Corp certification while having business models that seem to be not so, you know, supporting a new, a society or a way of life that is sustainable. For instance, companies which are selling water in plastic bottles, or coffee in caps, you know, in metallic capsules. Or so I don't want to say names here, because I actually do work with those companies sometimes, and I respect them, and I don't. But I'm very interested to open a discussion with them at the same time. And I say that at the same time with a lot of respect for the effort they're doing, being B Corp, because I think they're genuine. But I'm more thinking it's more for you. It could be a way to say that it is okay to sell water in bottles, that it is okay, and to be a B Corp would be a way to say this is sustainable to live that way. And I mean, my worldview, water is everywhere, and plastic is not, definitely not something that we want to spread on biodiversity, for instance, and environment, and for all kind of reasons. So there are alternatives, and there would be other business models, like maybe making clean water, helping people to have clean water everywhere, and having, you know, fountains. Or one of the biggest growing company in Belgium that I'm actually in right now is a company who is selling cleansers and for water fountains at home. You plug it to your. I live in Brussels area, and you plug it to your water in your house and or your apartment, and you have it's based on salt, and then you have clean water, and then you don't need to buy water, and it is good. And I find this is it my view. Maybe it seems to be way more sustainable and the future. And although those companies can still be B Corp. So I find it, I kind of wrestle a bit with that. I'm curious to have your point. Is it fair to be B Corp and still carry a business model that is not sustainable? And that's still not, in my eyes, and that's just a personal subjective perspective, but that is my eyes, not a sustainable business model, you know, society. What is your take on that?
It's thank you for the question, because we get it a lot.
Okay, yeah, of course.
And I think one of the reasons why we get it a lot is that the movement has come to a point now where in its first years, maybe first decades even, it was mainly a movement of pioneering companies. We're really showing the way on we can do business differently, and it works, and all businesses should try to be more like us, and you know, come and join us. It's possible, and we believe that it's contributing into building a better future for all. And that message has, I think, and it's not just B Corp movement, there are so many other movements and voices that are pushing for this, that message is now being heard increasingly. And so we've gotten the movement to a point where we have these much more traditional and larger companies who are starting to be convinced that that's indeed the way to go. And so we should be proud in a way that these companies are wanting to join the movement. And once we've said that, I think there are two ways of addressing that enthusiasm, which we think most of the time is sincere, from more traditional or larger companies to join the movement. We can either say, you know, thanks for your enthusiasm, but this movement's not for you. We just have, you know, the leading pioneering companies. Or we can say, we have a set of standards that are difficult. And these are the rules. And these rules are probably going to be tough for you guys because you're large and complex organizations with a number of problems on how you operate and the kind of products that you're selling. To be more precise on the two examples that you put forward. But if you do, you know, respond to those standards, respect the rules, and that we come and verify them, because that's also what B Corp is that you have auditors who come to verify that your answers are true and that your commitments are true and that the outcomes are actually verified, then we're actually open for you guys to join the movement, because we believe that without these large companies, we won't have the transformative impact and the systemic change mindset that we're hoping to have. And because we also believe that by coming into the movement, you are coming from a frame of mind of sort of humbleness, and that you will accept being criticized and challenged by those leading pioneering companies that are also part of the movement and that are part of the movement's history. And with the example of both the coffee company or the plastic water bottle company that you've cited, Danone and Nespresso, we've seen pioneering, leading, usually smaller companies who've come in, who've been sometimes rattled by the fact that they've joined the community, and who've really challenged them on a number of aspects. Yeah. And then in the way we verify those companies, B Lab has also challenged them on a number of issues regarding their business models. If we look at the example of Danone Waters, for example, they have a high number of commitments that they need to meet for their different recertifications of selling water in single-use plastic bottles. And then one final point, which is also an important aspect of how the B Corp certification works, is that there are a number of what we call sensitive industries that are publicly listed on the B Corporation website. And for those companies who are directly or indirectly linked to those industries, they need to meet a specific set of standards on top of their B Corp certification specific to those standards. So it's true for plastic water bottles, it's true for selling alcohol, it's true for a number of sensitive industries. And one other aspect, which I think is really interesting in the way the B Corp certification works, is that every B Corp, so there are now more than 6,500, I think, around the world, every B Corp has a public profile on the website with the detail of points by impact area and by sub-impact area. And for those companies who are in the remit of a specific sensitive industry, they need to have their transparency reports made public on their B Corp public profile. And then for companies who are owned by a larger company who's not yet certified, they have to have their entire B impact report made public on their public profile.
Yeah, transparency.
And that's a really interesting aspect we can. I completely understand the criticism on the business models which we receive, and it's very legitimate.
It's complicated because you were in a transition and you want to create a new future, but we have to start where we are, and then I guess your balance between showing the way and setting the standards, because that's helpful and we need someone to do that, and including people who are, and being a movement is also working with people on their side and helping them to go there, and you do a bit of the choice. You're not just a standard, you're also a movement, and that's what I understand. And being a movement, completely. You want to accompany the change, not just set the goal and that's it, and that's maybe a complex, because as you also have the standard, you're not a consultancy that is guiding the transformation of a company.
No, and
You're more like a friend or a companion that you can...
We try to be a friend or a companion, but yeah. I think one of the very important aspects that these larger certifications and more complex certifications has taught us is that A, it's been very important for us to never lower the level of standards or change the rules of the game for those companies, because they will come with huge specificities, very, very complex organizations. And more often than not, the first kind of conversations around B Corp and these organizations is the way your certification design is way too complex for us. It won't work. And every time we've stood firm, and it's really important that we keep that in mind. Yeah. The rules of the game have never changed for those larger companies.
Yeah.
And then the second aspect, which I really enjoy within the B Lab organization, is that we were very open to the noise or the criticisms that we have received. Every 3 years, we evolve our standards. And so in 2020, when the sort of natural evolution process started for a change in 2023, the B Lab organization said, it's been 15 years, we've always evolved our standards, but we've never actually rethought about how companies achieve those 80 points. Is it still useful for us to demand an 80-point bar? Is there a different way of actually organizing the way companies certify? Because we are getting more and more large organizations, and that's making us realize that maybe our standards have imperfections, have holes that we want to address. And so we've embarked as an organization into a much larger process of just evolving the standards to rethink on how companies can achieve B Corp certification. Those large companies joining the movement has also helped us challenge ourselves and always be mindful that the perfect company will never exist, but we need to always up our game and raise the not only the level of standard but the way we look at our certification.
I like that you're not in a place saying we know everything, this is how it should be. You are also open and learning with the companies that are members, and I think it shows the notion of learning organization, learning society that we are in. Yeah, it's not that somebody has the answer. It's like we have to create the answer. So we first should be in a learner and listening mode before being in a knowing mode. Maybe also some of it, but. Okay, so thinking of maybe a last question on the culture change, what kind of organizational culture would support, or what do you see in terms of mindset, ways of working, leadership development, culture development? What's either that a consequence to becoming B Corp or that necessary to be a B Corp? Because I believe that culture is creating the outcome and is creating the result at the end. So I don't know how to frame my question. Is it as a prerequisite or maybe as a consequence? But what kind of culture would support being a B Corp, I would say? And what specifically can people do about that?
It's a really interesting question because it's probably one of the main things that it's very difficult for us to measure. How can you measure culture within an organization? And we've had, recent examples where the company's practices, what they've demonstrated, the impact that they've managed to generate on a number of external stakeholders have been, up to our standards. But then when you get to know the people within the organization or something comes up, bad buzz, whatever, you realize that you've missed something. And usually what we've missed is the culture within the company. And so it's very difficult to answer. In an ideal world, the culture should be a prerequisite. And the questionnaire is designed for companies and the people who will go through the questionnaire to try to, force them to ask themselves the right question about their business. And I think that's one of the most interesting journeys that you can go on when you start a B Corp certification, is that you will open up questions that you will have never thought mattered, but actually have an impact on a number of stakeholders. And so hopefully the questionnaire and the standards are designed to help you build that culture, that mindset of really being mindful of your stakeholders. But it's not always ingrained in the company. Sometimes it's built through the questionnaire. And then that's also the really cool aspect of having a community of companies. Once you have obtained your B Corp certification, is that by being an active member of that community, that culture shift and mindset transformation will also happen, because you're having these interactions, these discussions with peers, you're contributing to events, and the more B Corp is getting well known, the more obviously we're under a spotlight. And so the more your consumers, your employees, your suppliers, your investors will have high standards, not only of your practices, but of your mindset, of how you behave, I guess, as a leader, as a finance director, an HR director, whatever the job is. We hope that companies not only respond to the standards, but have that mindset and that consciousness that every time they take a decision, they have an impact on someone or something else.
It's a culture of, I understand that we are interconnected. So if I go there, if I do this, there will be a systemically other impacts out there. And I don't necessarily see them, but they exist. And I just becoming aware of that. It's not a linear thinking, it's more systemic thinking. If I just reformulate.
We regularly have that example shared from companies who sell products through distributors. And they will say that very often when they will start a meeting with a number of different distributors, especially in food supermarkets, if they start the meeting and put forward that they are a B Corp company, the tone of the meeting will drop in tension, and it sets just a general mind frame with the other people sitting across the table that's just much more agreeable to begin a negotiation, because the suppliers on the other side of the table or the distributors on the other side of the table know that the company is, yes, it's there to sell their products and to do business, but it's also there with hopefully the right, you know, mindsets and different sets of values. It's definitely not a given. And whether it's for us internally, for the companies who are joining the movement, it's something that's constantly, you have to constantly work on that.
If I'm a leader or I'm a CEO, HR director or something, and I don't know that if my company yet wants to become a B Corp, but can B Lab be a place of inspiration, of community, or how can people join this movement, even before their company becoming B Corp? Is it only like formally companies joining with the intention to be certified?
No, and I think that's something that's a real shift in recent years with the B Lab organization, is that with the success of the B Corp certification, we've had, I guess, an increased sense of responsibility to be able to help others make the most of what's going on within this movement. We need to share this vision that we have for building a more equitable and regenerative and inclusive economy. And so, yes, there's the B Corp community, which is, you know, quite tight-knit. We organize events together. There are working groups. And we're seeing this in many different countries where B Lab operates. There are an increasing number of initiatives and programs to help others, be it individuals or organizations that are much, much further along in their impact journeys. Students, schools, teachers is a really important aspect of what we're trying to do in France. If we can get teachers and students in universities and in business schools to learn a different way of working for companies, that's extremely powerful. And we've realized that as a movement, as an organization. And so we're really trying to develop that side of the movement. We need to obviously carry on addressing the B Corp community, but it's I completely agree with you, it's super important that we open up as much as possible. And one of the most useful tools is our standards, the B Impact Assessment, which is a completely free tool to use. So you have B Corps using it, obviously, for their certification, but you have thousands and thousands of organizations who are using the tool and who don't necessarily want to go towards the certification, and that's fine. As long as they're using the tool to measure, progress, learn how to address these topics, we're really happy with that.
it could be a first step for our listeners who are, want to experiment and they can access. Where can you find this?
It's, on it's so on the B Corporation website, the B Impact Assessment. It's right there. It's difficult to miss. But to give you an idea, in France we have currently almost 300 certified B Corps, another 300 companies that are waiting to be verified, but we have almost 10,000 organizations that have an account wow. on the B Impact Assessment.
Wow!
So the number of organizations that are just using it or that have opened it to kind of discover and try to learn how you can measure your impact is really impressive.
Yeah. And if I can give a tip, I don't know. I got inspired by another organization that is actually maybe could be helping you to crack the question of culture. We had an interview, the previous podcast with them, the IDG, Inner Development Goals, and nonprofit. They are mapping the skills, the inner development, the leadership skills needed to reach the 2030 UN sustainability goals. And there are five core area of skills that they have listed. They simply create company circles. They are not actually measuring anything. They are simply creating a space for conversation among companies to share how do they do against or in the field of those skills. One of them, the skill is being, relating. They are different. I don't remember them all here. So it's what they do. They're simply organizing the space for conversations is simply a way to create a movement. And that is a good idea. Maybe that could something you could do. I don't know. Just
absolutely. We know them a little bit. We try to organize a bit of noise and movement when they launched the sort of French branch.
Yeah.
But I find it really interesting, their approach. I really enjoy what they do.
Okay, super. All right. So we're reaching the end of this interview, and maybe as I always do it, love to ask you if you would be okay to just you alone with our audience saying a few words. What would be your 1 minute? I would cut my mic and remove my headset, and it's you alone with the audience, and you will share whatever you want to share, or stay silent if you want to, offering us a moment of bliss, and then we will close. Is that okay?
Okay. It's all right. Nerve-wracking, but okay. Thank you for listening. Maybe the one idea I'd like to share is the importance for me of integrity. And it goes for the way we behave, also the way we're looking to scale the movement, scale our organization. It's okay to scale. It's okay to look for those bigger, maybe more traditional organizations, as long as we always do it with integrity. And I think that applies to many businesses, many different ways you can behave within an organization. We're not asking for perfect organizations or perfect behaviors. We all make lots of mistakes. But I think if we can behave with integrity, meaning that we're always aligned with what we believe, what we say, we'll go a long way. So I'll leave you with that, with integrity, hopefully. Thanks.
All right. And I'm back. Thank you, Augustin. So thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your time and your engagement. And I'm very grateful for an organization such as B Corp that is really organizing and helping us to structure what it means to be good and to change this world, and to do it with a lot of professionalism, and to embark so many companies to set the standards high and to hold on it, and at the same time to, in a very open human way, accompany the change and be inclusive. So, thank you for that, and I wish you. I really hope that. Many, many companies in France and in Europe are going to become B Corps. And as for Fabric, I hope we're going to keep the standard, because I know we're going to be reassessed in next year or something. So that's a challenge for us too in the field of consulting and transformation. So, yeah. All right. Okay. So thank you very much, Augustin. All the best to you. And then for our audience, let's stay tuned and come to our next episode. Thank you. Bye.